In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Love one another, for love is from God. He who loves is from God. He who does not love is not of God, and anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Love is from God, because God himself is love. The Father's love eternally begets the beloved Son. And the Son, in turn, loves his Father. And in that reciprocal love, the Holy Spirit proceeds. All three persons are love and dwell together in perfect love. Our God, though, is still different. He desires to manifest that love in a visible, concrete form. That is, he desires to create objects of his love. Thus, in the beginning, he spoke and made this world. He loves it all, from the smallest of creatures to the mightiest, from the deep seas to the soaring mountains. This is his beloved creation, chief of which is man. Created in the image and likeness of God himself, that is what makes us unique and distinct from all other parts of creation. We rightly define that image and likeness of God as the holiness and righteousness that was ours before the fall and restored in Christ. But we could also define the image of God as love. That perhaps gives us a more full and complete picture of what the image and likeness is. The way of righteousness is the way of love. The way of holiness is the way of love. It isn't just about refraining from sin, but doing the right thing from the heart, filled with love. The image and likeness of God must so encapsulate a man that the very fiber of his being cannot help but to love others. And in that, we see an image of our God. You see that with a mother and a newborn child. As she holds her newborn child, nothing else in the world matters. Whether it's finances or wars or distant countries, nothing else matters except that child. She exists solely for that child. Or in a husband who just marries his wife, he exists solely for her. Chiefly, God manifests his love in an incarnate son. The Muslims forbid pictures of their God, even pictures of Muhammad, because their God is not love. He is inaccessible, supreme. You cannot approach him. He is too far and distant, hard to please. But our God is love. He comes down to us. He walks among sinners, eats with sinners, allows sinners to press tightly against him, even touching the hem of his garment to be healed. He reaches out to bestow the same healing. The crowd saw him and touched him and walked with him and he among them, because this is our God, love. So we depict pictures of our God in the flesh, in windows and crucifixes, icons, drawings, and statues. We are not saying this is exactly what he looked like, but we are saying here is the clear depiction of love, historical real events that God inserted into man's history, entering in love so that he might undo the curse and restore us back to God. If you ever doubt the love of God, look no further than the incarnate Son. If you ever doubt the love of God, look no further than the Son hanging on a tree. This wasn't plan B. This was the plan all along. God is love, so God hung in the place of sinners. Love poured forth from his pierced hands, his punctured brow, and his open side in blood and water. The hateful sinner is loved. The worst of men is loved. The obnoxious, bad-tempered, selfish man is loved along with the diva. All are loved by God. It's more than a feeling in its heart, in his heart. It's more than a sentiment he bestows. It is an action flowing from his heart, from his very essence. For God is love and reveals that love to you in his Son, who atones for your sins. So this is the manifestation of love, Christmas and Easter and the Ascension and all the other events of our Lord as he walked this earth. God chose men out of this fallen world to be objects of his love. Christians live in the world, but they do not belong to the world. They belong to God. And so they abound in love, even as God himself is love. They abound in holiness and righteousness, for they have been restored in the image and likeness of God. The love of God surrounds them and fills them and moves them to every good work. Their heart of stone is removed, and he gives them a heart of flesh, not only so they can outwardly do the right thing, but so that they might be love, even as God is love. Through their words and actions, love flourishes on this earth. So you have the atoning love of God in the gospel that saves men from sin and death, but is not also the summary of the Ten Commandments, love God and love your neighbor. The law does not save, but it does show you the way of love. To follow those Ten Commandments is not being restrictive, but it's to set one free to love, even as we have received love. We will not tolerate anything outside of those commandments. We will not accept people who live contrary to those commandments. But we desire something greater and more beautiful for them, that they would love, even as God is love. So to walk in those commands is to follow love, and by those commands, love radiates out from you to family and friends and co-workers and neighbors. Once more, life on earth flourishes in love, receiving from God and showing love to one another. The fallen world cannot love because they do not know him who is love. They hate Christ. They hate Christians. They hate the gospel, they hate the law. As God manifests his love in his beloved Son, so they seek to manifest hatred in their words and actions. Don't take it personally. The world hates you only because you belong to Christ. Sometimes they display that, sometimes it is more subdued. But anyone who is against God is also against you. So abortion is not simply an attack on an unborn child, it is ultimately an attack on Christ himself, who became man. And radical feminism is also an attack on the God-man who alone saves. The world hates the order of creation because it hates the God who created this world in love, and then who entered this world to redeem it, so that men can be men, women can be women, children, children, and parents, parents. That his world might flourish in love once more. On earth, we don't see that. On earth, it doesn't look like we Christians are flourishing and abounding in love day in and day out. And that brings us to these two lesser known apostles, if not the very least known apostles, Saint Simon and Saint Jude. This is not Simon Peter, but Simon the Zealot. And this is not Jude, Judas Iscariot, but Jude of James. They share the same name. We know very little about them in the Gospels. We know even less about them in church history, other than they died a martyr's death. And perhaps that's the point. The office of the ministry is not about the men who filled it, but about Christ who established it. This office is not about what they were able to accomplish, but how Christ, through men, known and unknown, bestowed his eternal love on a dying world, bringing life. Yes, they suffered the world's hate, But faithfully they discharge their duties, even if we do not know how or where. And they died in love for him who loved them and as a witness to the world around them. This Christ is worth it. The love of God is worth laying down one's life for. Yet what the world intended for evil, God will use for love. As he says through the prophet Zechariah, he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Now they reside in perfect heavenly love, receiving all good things from their God and reciprocating that love. Their eyes see the most beautiful Savior with pierced hands and open side, marks of eternal love. Their ears hear the most harmonious sounds of saints and angels joined together. Their mouths sing and speak nothing but divine, lovely words. And their minds think of the most lovely goodness of the Lord, their God and their Savior, the mercies that he poured out on them on this earth, and the goodness that they enjoy in the heavenly realms. Their bodies are now so encapsulated with holiness that love radiates from them. Again, holiness and love are not all that distinct. Their bodies are pure and holy, their hearts filled with joy and gladness and love. And best of all, they see God. They see the image of the incarnate God born of the Virgin Mary, the manifestation of love itself, with their very eyes. For us, that is yet to come. God is love, and he loves you. His beloved died for you, and his body touches your lips to fill you not with an abstract concept or feeling of love, but to fill you with him who is love. The world will still hate you. Sometimes it will be expressed, other times not, but persevere in love. Walk in his commands, and do not let evil enter your heart. God alone must reign there. God alone must dwell there as you receive the love of God and live in love with one another. So again, Christ says, love one another, for love is from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.